Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome to The Kitchen Table, episode number 8.
Episode 8, wow.
For really? This week. We're so glad you're here. Thank you for listening week after week to our conversations across The Kitchen Table. The reason we do this is simply to spur conversations about faith issues. We like to discuss a little bit of music, a little bit of what's happening in our country, in our world, with our segment called Culture Shock.
Yep.
My name is Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And with us this week, we have a very special guest we brought in, our good friend Mario Flores. Welcome, Mario.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Mario, three facts. Go.
I am from California. I can grow a beard, and I am a pastor.
All right, those are good three facts. Mario actually lived with us the summer before he got married.
Yeah, I did.
He's kind of personal relations.
Part of the family.
Yeah. So our faith question for this week is serving God important to our faith/Christian walk with God?
Okay, well, we talked last week, of course, about knowing God's will for our life. And as a part of that conversation, we threw out the question, is everyone called to something? And we kind of just worked through that. This is more specifically focusing on serving God and what that looks like. Questions like, is it important? How can we serve Him? What does it mean when we serve God? Those kinds of questions we're going to address today.
It's good.
Let's first tackle, does God want us to serve Him?
Absolutely. I would say that seems like an obvious yes. God wants us to serve Him.
Were we created to serve God? How about that question?
Yeah, I think we're created to worship Him, to be in relationship with Him, and being in relationship with Him inevitably leads to serving Him.
In a roundabout way, it does get to that point. In Acts chapter 17, verse 25, Paul's talking to the Greeks at that point, and he says, "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything." So the question, are we created to serve God? I don't think so, because what does God need from us? I think we're created more to serve others on behalf of God's purpose for us.
Okay.
Rather than serve God Himself. Does that make sense? It's, you know, it's a little bit of twist on it.
Yeah, that makes me think of like when Jesus said, like, if you want to love me, love others. So it's like the way to love God is by loving others in a way. So I can see the way to serve God is by serving others. I see that.
Jake, one of the memories we have of our years living in South America, I think service to God really has a huge impact on us. We had a family that was associated with our church that had a fire in their home. And Jake was maybe 6 years old.
You know, I remember this.
And he remembers this. You build your own house there for the most part. Most people build their own home. And so their house burnt. It was unlivable at that point. They had to dismantle what was left of that house and start building a new one. And so several of us from the church went over to their house that burnt on a afternoon. And we started literally dismantling their cinder block home. Cinder blocks, once they get heated up like that, they're worthless. And so as we're tearing apart the house on another piece of the property that their house is on,
they were building it up.
They were literally laying the foundation for another one. Now, when we're talking homes, we're not talking, you know, the nice 2,000 square foot homes we have here in the U.S. These are just homes that are maybe 500 square feet out of cinder block with a roof, that tin roof. And so that's why people build their own homes. They're able to do that out of service to them, not to God. But because of our relationship with God, we were serving them. We wanted to make a difference for them. We wanted to help, you know, build them up and, of course, help them in their walk with Christ. And so we wanted to show compassion for them. But the impact it had on you, because you remember it to this day.
Yeah, I do.
You know, you probably thought it was fun at the time. I mean, if you can remember six-year-old thoughts, what were thoughts going through your mind that day?
Thoughts going through my mind. I can vividly remember they put me on like getting rid of all of like the ashes and all the dirt and everything that was just crumpled together in piles. And so they had me like move everything out. And I remember seeing like toys burnt and toys like just destroyed. It made me think about my life and how this would be awful. No one should go through this. This is a terrible time, and how I just wanted to help. And so it kind of encouraged, even as a 6 year old, it encouraged me to work hard for it. And so I think it's the first time I ever did like something with serving other people.
It's good.
Something that memorable, of course.
also with the serving aspect, I just actually came back from a camp that I was serving. The camp is called Everyone Cares Camp, EC Camp for short. And the camp is a week, well, for counselors, it's a week long, but there's two sessions. And the campers are special needs adults. So they have, on the entire scale, they have autism, Down syndrome. And so they bring in teenagers as counselors. And so they kind of pair one-on-one to each camper. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this camp for 4 years now, and it's been super impactful in my life. I see the pain and the struggle when they come, but when they're there, they're as happy as can be. And they cry when they have to go home because mm-hmm. they'll miss camp. I mean, their buddies are there. Some of these campers have been there for over 20 years. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
I love that camp so much, and it's super impactful.
Amen.
That's probably like one of my favorite
service things to the campers?
Oh, both. Impactful? Most definitely both. I think it's impactful to the campers because what we basically do there is we have a VBS kind of for adults. So this year is a space theme. Last year it was treasure hunt theme. So they're getting a message every day. It's kind of impactful to the counselors as well because you're away from home. There's no Wi-Fi service really. Like, I could barely find any. It's
oh,
so spotty.
It's awful.
I know. I loved it actually. I loved unplugging. But some people we could tell they wanted their Wi-Fi. It was super impactful to us because we're away from home. Some of us know each other, some of us don't, but we all come together at the end of the day and we just talk about, because it's a hard job to do all day. Some campers are not easy,
mm-hmm.
and everyone knows that, and we help each other out. The counselors, by the end of it, we become one big family. We can relate to each other because we've experienced it. And so I think it helps grow that. And then they have a video at the end of each session. We have a photographer who's a staff person, photographer, and she makes a video at the end of each session, and you're just seeing all these pictures of camp and the smiles. Mm. And this year especially, I've been reading the book Everybody Always by Bob Goff, and Bob Goff really pushes the fact that, like, Jesus is everyone. Like, everyone is made in the image of Christ. It's just seeing those smiles on the video, I'm like, this is the body of Christ. We are all the body of Christ. And yes, they may have more difficulties in life, and we are to help them. I mean, even in the Bible, it says to help the orphans and the widows and just everyone. And so just seeing the video, it was very impactful. And I was like, this is the body of Christ right here. And I think with the servanthood of it, that's like what we're supposed to do. And it's life-changing.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast discussing faith, music, and culture.
Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
Amen.
Is service worship? An act of worship?
Yeah, it seems so, right? To give of yourself. I think of even Philippians 2, when it says that Paul's imploring the church in Philippi to think of Christ and don't think of anyone better than yourselves and have the same mind of Christ, who, even though he's the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, but he emptied himself. This word mm-hmm. kenosis, like it means to empty, to self-empty. And so you pour yourself out. Jesus poured himself out literally and figuratively. And so I think as believers, when we do pour ourselves out, maybe, yes, as you experience there, Jake, it's exhausting, but man, it's so fulfilling.
It's rewarding.
Yep. Even our church is partnering with Salvation Army and was helping organize and sort materials and things that maybe shouldn't be donated. FYI, if you're just donating junk, don't do that. Just donate good stuff or things that are working. We threw away a lot of things that we shouldn't. We could go into a tangent about how much we waste stuff. But anyways, when you're serving, yeah, I think that is a worship, an act of worship to God. That's why as a pastor, I always, and as a former worship pastor, I would often say, we're going to worship God through music. When we sing songs to God, that's not the fullness of worship. Uh-huh. That's just a piece. Our lives as a living sacrifice, as the scripture says, that's what real worship is.
Someone said that in response to God creating us, we serve him, and we serve him again by serving others.
Yes.
John 13, verses 14 through 17 says, if I then, your Lord, this is Jesus talking, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet,
yes,
you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's good.
God gives us gifts. He's created us. He gives us gifts to build up his church. And that's truly what it means when he means we're serving others. It's the whole purpose. And the purpose we serve is to build up his church, to fulfill his mission for the world.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
So how do we serve God in our daily lives, day to day?
I feel that God puts moments in our lives or things in our lives that it kind of is a challenge, not a challenge, but like a, hey, like here's an opportunity to serve. Like I even saw it today. So I work at Olivet and I'm a custodial person. And one of my coworkers he was like trying to clean an oven and he was really struggling with it. And I was like, hey, do you want help? He puts things in your opportunities in your life to help others, to serve others.
Do you think he puts people in your life?
Oh,
to
most definitely.
Serve them.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't know about you guys, but not every prayer that I ask to be answered gets answered in the way I want it to.
Whose does?
Yeah, I agree. That's absolutely a great point. But one prayer request that always gets answered is if I ever pray, God, would you please use me today?
Mm-hmm.
God, would you please give me an opportunity to serve you? The only time that doesn't happen is because my failure to say yes to him in the moment that, yeah. You know, you're alluding to, right? Man, I can think of so many times where literally I'm batting 1,000. Every time I ask for God to give me an opportunity to serve him, there's an opportunity to serve him that day. Yeah.
And really, we don't have to go out of our way and start seeking for ways to serve him.
Sure.
It just happens in day-to-day life. Investing in others. How do we do that? You have to know them.
Mm.
You have to build a relationship with that person, and truly knowing who that person is.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how you serve by truly investing in others. Help when it's needed.
Right.
You know, the simplest act of kindness and love can make a huge difference. Scripture talks about hospitality. You know, Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And it's hard to entertain strangers, so to speak, to show that hospitality to strangers because that totally removes us from our comfort zone.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm reminded in church history classes that I took that one of the marks of the Christian church, of Christians in general, was our hospitality. Mm-hmm. It was the ability to entertain people, that have them into our homes and break bread together and share a meal. And, you know, even recently, like a friend of mine was nervous to bring one of his friends over to my house with my wife and I. He's like, he's totally not a Christian at all, Mario. Like, he's respectful and all, but he's definitely not a Christian. And you're like super Christian. You're totally into Jesus. And I'm just, you know, just kind of nervous. And I was like, dude, I love non-Christians. Sometimes I feel way more comfortable with the unchurched than with the church. Bring him over. Anyways, friend came over and, you know, I didn't feel Holy Spirit say share the gospel with this guy, but I did hear Holy Spirit say just continue to love him and get to know him. Then I talked to a mentor of mine and he said, you know, one of the marks of Christianity, especially early on, was hospitality. And maybe this guy just needs to know that he's loved by you. You can see that not all Christians are weirdos, although some of us totally are, speaking of one for myself, but not in total crazy ways, right? And so it was good just to have him over. And I think, though, inevitably, God will bring that door open, whether it's through me or through my friend who's, you know, a better friend with this guy. And that's also another way that we serve God, is by telling the good news of what he's done for us, telling people about Jesus. Hey, you can be forgiven. You can never do enough to lose God's love for you. God always loves you. God always has open arms. Just receive that forgiveness. That is such good news, because man, when I mess up, my goodness, I do not have trouble thinking two thoughts. One, it wasn't a big deal when it really was, or that was way too big of a deal when maybe it wasn't. And I just got to move on, because God offers his grace that doesn't just forgive, but it transforms. So, man, I totally agree.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast discussing faith, music, and culture.
When we serve through our Christian faith, through our Christian walk, it's a different standard. Mm. We have to know the standards of God, because the standards of God are different from the human standards. The standards of God come down to loving others. It comes down to love, 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9 through 13, it says this, love must be sincere. Mm. We always concentrate on chapter 13, right?
Mm.
Read chapter 12, rather. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love.
Yeah.
Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not human standards right there.
Mm.
I mean, and that's the thing. That's what separates us from the world, is when we concentrate on the standards of God and truly serve others.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's such an important part of our Christian faith. We talked a little bit about this, mentioned a little bit earlier, when we do serve others and try to be a blessing to them, yeah, because God's called us to do that.
Yeah.
We also receive a blessing back.
That's right.
What ways have you seen that happen?
I think of every trip I've ever gone to overseas, it was a missions trip or working witness trip. I'm pretty sure in that case as well, I'm batting 1,000, where I always get blessed way more than probably the people that I went to go serve, right?
Right, right.
I mean, as long as my motivation and our motivations are, I'm going to serve, I'm going to just give of myself, I'm going to do whatever I can, man, we get so much more blessed, I think, than the people who are receiving help. Because sometimes, I mean, the stuff that maybe I had to offer, I was uneducated and maybe wasn't actually what they needed, right? And yet, yeah, but when our motivations are not about me, serving God, serving others, my goodness, I've received so much more joy, satisfaction, peace, right? All of that.
Let's take it down to the simplest form. How do you feel when you are obedient to God?
With the world that we live in today, I think being obedient to God is a hard thing, but it's very rewarding. Like, especially since I just graduated high school, but in my middle school days, I remember hearing like a voice, like, you know what to do is right. You know what to do.
Mm.
Like, it was so hard for me to do that because society and people that I hung out with, they weren't the best people. And I would just have this like inner battle between my thoughts. I just didn't know what to do. I like to say that most of the time I did what God wanted me to do. I was obedient and it was rewarding at the end of it. This is an example. There was like a friend of mine who was being bullied, but my other friends were bullying this one friend. They were kind of in different friend groups and I was kind of like the medium person. I knew both of them really well. And so I stuck up for my friend who was being bullied, and I was like telling my other friends like, hey, that's not cool. God showed who my true friend was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of like a reward of that.
I think I feel at peace. Because when I'm disobedient and I know I'm disobedient, I don't feel good because I know yeah, I didn't do what was right. Now as a married man, having to celebrate it a year last month.
Yeah, you did.
Going to Mexico next week to celebrate it.
Yeah, when I
intentionally disobey or don't do what I know my wife wants, there's then conflict in the relationship, uh-huh, you know? And sure, she forgives me and I've forgiven her, but there is that, I think, unnecessary conflict that takes place. And then there's the need to apologize, right? And so I would say I feel peace because I'm like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not being lazy or I'm not being rebellious. I'm in right relationship with God. So I experience peace.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
How has times of service allowed you to experience God's presence in a different way?
So I think, you know, I've had moments where I'm bawling my eyes out, snot is coming out when I'm worshiping the Lord through music, and it's just super powerful and I feel His presence. But in other ways, and maybe in other physiological ways, I've also sensed God's presence, getting to know the story of a homeless guy, right? I won't mention names, but even here in Kankakee, like getting to know people and taking them to get a meal. Again, I, you know, Jake, you mentioned how everyone is made in the image of God and Christ is in everyone. And it just reminds you of Matthew 25 when Jesus said, if you do it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it for me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's exactly what it is when I'm serving people that maybe my flesh might want to ignore or stay away from,
mm-hmm,
my spirit is like revived. And so then I just get to experience this double dose of joy, double dose of peace.
I can understand that. I think when we are serving people, so like at camp, for example, you sense God in a different way. So like, as you said, you would cry, or not like all the time, but
sure,
like you've had experiences,
right,
where you cried during worship. And I've had the same experiences too. When I'm serving, like especially at camp, like I saw God in a new light.
Mm.
I saw Him in a new way. And it's kind of, I can't explain it. It's just, I see Him as all around. Like He is, He is here.
Yeah.
And I've experienced that with music, but in the way that I'm trying to explain it with like, He is here, He is in everybody, He is working, He is here.
Sure. Sure.
You know, maybe someone's out there listening right now who has been serving, but is not feeling this passion, this fulfillment in what they're doing. And they're kind of like confused by what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and there are times when we're trying to force it, And it's not who we are. It's not where our passion lies. So our service is misplaced. How do we fix that? We realize that God has gifted us in a specific way. Remember, we talked about last week in our podcast of knowing God's will for our life and that 10% that is unique to us.
Right.
Yeah.
And how God is going to reveal to us that 10%. But determining what is our passion and finding out what our passion is and plugging that in to service.
Sure.
Yeah.
And in essence, and we talked about this last week, we're all called to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To follow that image. And we're all called, not because it's a requirement, but because it's a natural outflowing of God's love for us and then that love to others to service.
Right.
So finding that passion, how God has gifted us. And if you don't know, one of the best ways you can do it is ask others, ask your friends at church, ask family members.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm passionate about? What do you think my gifts are? What am I good at?
That's good.
You know? And then try to find ways of serving others. Amen. Using those gifts and passions.
Sure.
Other way that it's probably not fulfilling is maybe your motivation is off.
Yep. Yep.
We serve God for us, not for Him. We talked about that at the beginning. Mm. You know, we're not serving God. It's a natural outflowing of what takes place in our own lives. And we are serving others as part of His plan, but that's the act of service to others is what is really feeding back to us. And we talked a little bit about those benefits. We aren't serving God for our own fulfillment. Don't get me wrong on that.
Right.
But for His glory.
Mm.
And our fulfillment is only a byproduct
yes.
of having proper motives.
That's right. That's right.
In our service.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
So run along. We're going to kind of just tie this up into a bow and hopefully hit the high points here, guys.
Good.
We know this. We are not here to serve God.
Mm.
We are here to serve others because of God. And we're to do it to His glory and with the right motives. And out of that, we help discover and develop our own spiritual gifts. And out of that, we experience joy and peace that comes through the obedience of service. And out of that, we learn to become more like Jesus, who showed us the example of servanthood. And we can experience God's presence in new ways. Is service to God, service in God's kingdom, let's put it that way, important to our Christian walk?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, now we're moving on to Music Matters.
Okay, since we have a guest with us, we like to add in the guest and their choice of music, and we always let our guest go first, Mario.
That's so kind. That is very kind
of
you.
We try to do that. It's our servant heart. That's what it is.
I love it. You're serving me. Ah, oh, so good. You guys are going to feel so much fulfillness. I'm thinking of the song I want. My song for this week is Fullness by Elevation Worship. Such a good song. I think it's a great prayer for the church. As you're praying, as you're singing, sometimes when we're worshiping God through music, I think their songs can actually be prayers that we can declare, truth that we're declaring. So, you know, the chorus is, pour it out, let your love run over here and now, let your glory fill this house. And kind of the song that I really appreciate is kind of a song of revival. Like, God, have your way. Overflow in this place. Interrupt us however you please. Do what you want. Like, overflow. Like, we want the fullness of your presence. We want the fullness of your mission to be accomplished. So do whatever you want. So I've really enjoyed, you know, singing this song, praying this song, listening to this song. Sometimes when I'm, it kind of inspires me to even pray differently when I've listened to this song.
Okay, so I picked a song this week that is bilingual.
Amen.
Spanish and English. It's a group, they're from Miami, Social Club Misfits, super talented hip-hop group. The song is called Tuyo, which translation means yours. I will let them set up this song and explain it.
Being from South Florida, we wanted to make a song that incorporated our Latin roots. And if you've ever been to South Florida, you know it's very diverse, a lot of nationalities. We wanted to make a song and infuse that Latin influence with pop radio. And so we have Danny Gokey join Sparks in the song Tuyo. What it basically means is, I'm yours, God. So it's like we're saying it in different languages, but we're all coming together as one saying, God, we are yours. And no matter where you are, we hope that when you hear the song, you can declare in your language, no matter where you're from, God, I am yours. Every single day, I say yes to you. Yo no sé de dinero, ni mucho de la fama, pero sé que te quiero, y sé que tú me amas.
All right, that was I love that song. That's a good one. So my song for this week is a little rendition of How Deep the Father's Love, and it's by King's Kaleidoscope. And so I just think it's a great way to combine the generations, because it's a older song,
yeah,
I would say, and then it's got kind of a new beat to it. So here's a little bit of King's Kaleidoscope's How Deep the Father's Love.
You like taking the old hymns and reworking them, don't you?
The revamped hymns.
There, you know what? There is amazing theology in hymns.
There is.
And it's wonderful that we can update music, which is an awesome thing. All right, now it's time for the oldie but goodie.
Oldie but goldie.
Sorry.
There you go.
And we're going to go back to 1987, the year I graduated from high school. Thank you.
Same.
Same for you.
No, I'm sorry. That was a joke.
And so this is a female Christian artist, a rocker by the name of Margaret Becker. If you know secular music at all, she was the closest thing we had in the 80s to the female rock band Heart.
Nice.
And I remember playing this vinyl.
You're showing your
the
age.
The student radio
well.
Station
Uncle
in college.
Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
Vinyl.
So I was playing this on my student show at student radio station in college years ago, and I played this song a lot. It's called Never for Nothing, Margaret Becker, also known as Maggie B. All right, that closes up Music Matters. And now it's time to move into our segment we call Culture Shock. Recently, Netflix announced that they are going to make some changes in programming.
Really?
Yes. They are being criticized quite a bit for the edgy content that they put out.
Are you talking about like Netflix originals? Or like,
well, they're the originals. Yeah, mostly their original stuff.
Okay.
They do films, they do series.
Right.
And the majority of them, honestly, have mature ratings on
them.
And there are some shows on Netflix that deal with themes that are just like, whoa, that would never be on television, that would never make it to a theater. You could only do it on something like Netflix. And so they've taken some criticism for that. They have committed themselves to start producing family content too.
So good.
That's awesome.
So, in fact, their vice president of original series said, it's a very important audience to us. It represents a significant percentage of the population, not only here in the U.S., but around the world.
That's good.
Yeah. And so, yeah, for them, I'm sure it's a monetary thing, but the fact that they're going to be producing this stuff, and we'll see. And hopefully some Christian producers out there will get contracts to produce stuff for Netflix. That's
absolutely
the good thing about it is.
Yeah, awesome.
My question is, because have you guys heard of PureFlix?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so that's sort of like the Christian
Netflix. Christian
Netflix,
yeah.
And all the Christian movies go on PureFlix, and television shows that have been created go on PureFlix. You know me, I am a very harsh critic of Christian media.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm in good company. I'm not an outsider right now. That's great.
And you know what? We've come a long way. I get that.
Yeah.
We
absolutely
really have. And there are some bright spots along the way. I can only imagine the movie about Bart from Mercy Me that came out. Just a phenomenal film. Did very well.
How about The Case for Christ?
Case for Christ, another
great
one.
True story and Lee Strobel. Amazing acting. The entire thing.
Yeah. And that's
all good actors.
That's my criticism is the story writing, spot on.
Right.
Most of the time it's spot on.
Yep.
The technology that they use to film with, it's all digital, it's high definition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not doing major Hollywood effects,
sure,
because those cost money,
right,
then it's good. It's usually what pulls it down is the acting.
Yep.
You know, and they're not investing in what it takes to get good quality actors.
Right.
And they're starting to do that now because the financial resources are there and they're taking more risks to make that happen. So it's going to be exciting to see. I'm kind of holding my breath, you know, because You never know what Hollywood comes up with. You know, right. When Noah, the movie Noah came out, I was invited to a pre-screening. And I watched it, and I just could not believe what I saw.
Yeah. Within the first few minutes, you knew this is
a disaster.
Not,
yeah. I'm like, who's the little Yoda guy that Noah's talking to
those
in the
creatures.
Cave and the creatures? Yeah.
The rock monsters or whatever.
So I am hopefully optimistic that that they will be bringing in, Netflix will be, you know, contracting Christian producers, directors, screenwriters to create series and original movies. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, agreed. One that's already on there is my brother's name. It's called Victor. All right. Really good. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you haven't.
I've heard of it.
Look
I've never
it
seen
up.
It, though.
It's called Victor. True story and a really well done film on Netflix already. Look, check it out.
I would love to see John Grisham's book Testament made into a movie. It was never made into a movie because it's the storyline is has great Christian themes through it.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see that happen.
Sure.
So,
should probably write Hollywood or something.
Write Hollywood. I got a few friends out there. I'll give him a call.
I was like, my cousin's out there.
Yeah, he is. So we shall see. We'll look forward to that. Culture Shock for this week. All right. Well, that wraps up this week's episode number 8.
Number 8.
And we thank you, of course, for tuning in. Thank you to our guest, Mario Flores, for coming in and hanging out with us.
Appreciate
sharing
it.
Some insight with us and just having a great time. So again, if you have a faith question you want us to try to tackle, please get a hold of us. You can do that a couple ways. One is through the Kitchen Table Facebook group. It's on the Shine.fm Chicago Facebook page. It's a group within that page. You can join it. We'll approve you, promise, and just start that discussion where you just throw out faith questions and we can continue the conversation there as well. You can also catch us on Twitter. My Twitter account is my name, Brian
chip, chip,
Utter.
Chip, chip. Twitter bird. Got that. Mine is Utter_butter.
Send us a tweet. Let us know what you think of the podcast and in any questions you have. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm Podcast Network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.